meekness. So appreciate that, brother. All right, take your Bibles, if you would. Going right into our message tonight, talking about the husbands being the example of his wife. We're going to continue on that for a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And so we're going to continue on this for a little bit. And some of the things we're going over on Wednesday night, and we're about to start going into in the Bible, dealing with the husbands, is starting to get into a little bit more of, I don't know if it's more meatier of the Word of God. It's harder to swallow. It's unpopular. The world doesn't like it, but it's still the Word of God. And so I'm going to start going over some of this. And again, it is not popular today at all. But it doesn't matter. I'd rather please God than have the popularity of man. And so we're going to start getting into some stuff. I'm working on some messages on the Word of God, and I'm praying about preaching this week. And here in a couple weeks, I might be preaching on one. You know, there's a lot of different things, different kind of foods and tastes that people like. Some people like some hotter things. Some people like things that are not as hot. And I guess it's based on your palate or whatever you like or your taste buds. And sometimes there's things that take an acquired taste to get to like. And maybe you didn't like it when you were a kid, but you like it now. And all those kind of things. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about the Word of God being compared to something that you eat and to some kind of flavor. And so I'm praying about preaching here in a few weeks on how's your taste buds. How's your spiritual taste buds? Amen. And so I'm working on that. You pray about it, but we'll be preaching on probably the Word of God this Sunday, unless God changes my message on it. But what I'm getting at is there's some stuff in the Bible that's milk, and it's just the basic stuff. Now, there's some people that choke on milk.
That's right.
There's some people that can't get over, I'm saved and I can't lose it.
Yeah.
That's milk. That's the milk of God's Word. And you say, well, how does somebody choke on milk? Well, have you ever fed a baby a bottle and drinking it too fast or something? It can happen. Amen. All right. And so, then you start getting into more of the meatier things of the Word of God. And so some of the stuff that we're covering on Wednesday night, so I'm not used to some of this stuff. This is getting a little bit deeper into it, but it's necessary for us to have a home that pleases God for us to know what the Bible says, not what social media says the Bible says. Not what the media says the Bible says, but what does the Bible say? And so that's what we're looking into, and we're going to get probably not tight into some of the real deeper stuff that is not going to go over that well. It's not popular at all, but we're going to teach it anyway. But probably sometime in the next couple of weeks, we'll be hitting some of that. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 7, we're talking about the husband, and we're still dealing with the husband, and we still will be dealing with the husband for several more weeks. But in dealing with the husband, we're going to see some things about the wife also and some of her responsibility towards the husband doing what he's supposed to do. But we're still dealing with the husband. We'll be dealing with the wives later on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 7. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 goes over a lot of detail about women and men and their place. A lot of it has to do with authority. Like Brother Brian was teaching tonight, we're just going to look at verse number 7 and maybe a couple other ones. 1 Corinthians 11:7, Paul says here, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Again, throughout the Bible, we find the order of the home. And we find the order that God has placed for the home. And here in this verse, Paul said that the man is the image and the glory of God. You say, what's the significance about what we're studying? Well, right now we're talking about the husband is to be an example to his wife. And if he is the glory, if he's the image and the glory of God, he needs to show that to his wife. He needs to show that to his wife. He needs to portray that image to his wife. He needs to draw her into that image. Because of his walk with God, she ought to have a stronger walk for God. Because of his walk for God and because of his love for the Bible and love for the church, it ought to be infectious because of that. Now, I can tell you right now, it's infectious the other way. If you don't want to go and you don't feel like praying, reading your Bible, or doing none of those things, it's very easy to fall into a slump where you're not doing it. You've got to constantly keep working towards that and doing what's right. You're going to be infectious either way. any way you go about it, it's going to happen. Now, that infectiousness might cause an infection. You know, they might get mad or upset about it. But Brother Brian read it tonight that that individual, whether it's a husband or a wife or a child, they will answer to God for what they've done. But we're talking about the husbands tonight, and you will answer to God for your family. He said, they're not living right. You're still going to give an answer for it, whether you like it or not. I'm sorry. Amen. Just as a pastor of a church is going to give an answer for his church. Whether you say, well, everybody's not living right in the church, he's going to give an answer for it. We're all going to give an answer for ourselves. That's just what's going to happen. And so we ought to, as men, as husbands, we ought to portray the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what is that? Well, you need to get in your Bible and find out. I mean, you need to know in your Bible. And so the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5:27 about Jesus Christ presenting his bride to himself, a glorious church. That's what he's presenting to himself, a glorious church. And so when you look at the dynamic of the church and Christ, and look at the husband and the wife, and we're supposed to follow that pattern, then men, we should portray the image of Christ and pray and do what we're supposed to, and try to have a glorious wife that we could present to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I have my family. We're doing the best we can to serve you and please you according to your word. But you cannot do that if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, man. You can't present your family and your wife a glorious family to the Lord if you're not where you're supposed to be. If you're not saved and know that you're saved, if you're not doing right and doing what you're supposed to, how can you present your family a glorious church before our glorious family before the church? We have those examples there. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, the Bible talks about the pastor is to watch for the souls of his congregation. The souls of his congregation. And husband, you are the leader of you, the spiritual leader of your home. It is your responsibility to watch out for their spiritual needs. You're supposed to watch for their souls. I, as a pastor, pray for every kid in this church to get saved at a young age, to fall in love with Jesus. I pray for the adults, amen, if there's some that God's put on my heart, for you to get saved if you're not saved, and if you are, to fall in love with Jesus. As a pastor, I pray for that, and that's my responsibility. Brother Hunter, if one of these young people that come to church and hear the preaching and they're back there in children's church, you say, why do you get onto the children's church people and get all them together and say, hey, make sure you got something to say, because I'm responsible for those kids' souls even though I'm not back there. And I need to make sure you're studying and you're praying and you're preaching and you're giving the gospel right and doing all those things. And I pray for your children. But when it comes to your home and your house, husband, you're the spiritual leader. You're supposed to be watching for their souls. What are you doing in your home to put them in the opportunity and give them every opportunity possible to get saved at the youngest age? I mean, are you doing devotions? Are you praying with them? Are you praying with your wife? Are you reading the Bible with her? What are you doing to try to ensure that your child is not going to die and go to hell? Watching for their souls. And then if they are saved, to keep them on the straight and narrow. Amen. I can't imagine what this world's going to be like in 20 years. When Jameson's old enough to go to men's retreat, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Amen. I don't know if the world's ready for him at 18 years old. Amen. But I don't know what it's going to be like. But do you know what's going to determine how he's going to end up when he turns 18? What goes on in the Joneses household. Amen. The preacher gets blamed for a lot, and the Sunday school teachers get blamed. Well, they should have done more, but it. You know who's going to stand and give an account? Yes, the pastor will stand and give an account for everything that he preached and was taught and what went on at the church. He's going to give an account, yes. But you know who's going to stand and give an account, Dad? You. You're going to give an account. Say, well, they didn't turn out right, and I did the best I could. You're still going to give an account. And you can tell God that. Lord, I did everything I was supposed to do, and I tried. And I failed sometimes, and I'm sorry, Lord. You still have to give an account for it. And, you know, that day's going to come, that day, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's going to be a scary day. It's going to be a tear-filled day. But in my feeble mind, you know, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, all the things that's going to be in heaven. we can read in the Word of God what's going to take place. We can't imagine what our feelings are going to be like. But I know what my feelings are like right now, just the thought of one of these kids dying and going to hell. And it breaks my heart. Just the thought of one of these young men getting out of church. Just the thought of a marriage not making it. It breaks my heart. And it ought to break your heart. And if you have children and grandchildren, it ought to break your heart. And you're going to give an account, but you know, when we get to heaven, you're going to give an account. If you're saved and going to heaven, you're going to give an account. But down here on this life, you're going to reap physically for how you raise your home and your family. It's going to happen. You're going to reap. You could reap good. You could reap bad. And again, there's people that grow up in the same home and they have the same instructions and they all turn out different. When they get to a certain age, they have to decide what they're going to do. They're going to have to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, or we're going to go serve the gods of this world. And you did everything you could. And once they step out, man, that's up to them. You have raised your family and your home the best you could according to the Word of God, and now they have to stand on their own. All right? And the Bible talks about whatever you've taught and instilled in them, they're not going to forget it. And they might be out in the hog pen, but they'll remember that back at the house was the Word of God, and back at the house was somewhere I can get help, like the prodigal son. And so, talking about the husband being the example of his home, he's responsible for his wife's spirituality. The husband is responsible for that, just as the pastor is for the church. Now, let me ask you this. I get up here and I preach against sin and all these things and preach about modest living and preach about standards and convictions and how we ought to dress as a child of God, how ladies ought to dress, how men ought to dress, and all those things, the music, go over all that, and I preach all that, but does everybody do everything they're supposed to do? I mean, be honest. No. But when I stand before God, I'm going to say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. Now, if I didn't preach any of those things and I didn't try to set you up for a successful Christian life and as a successful home that would please God, and I stood before God and said, hey, Lord, I loved everybody and I hugged all the kissed all the babies and I hugged all the mamas and told everybody that you loved them every service and I never did anything else, is God going to be upset with me or you? Me. Right? If I get up to heaven, I say, Lord, I preached that there was nobody else sitting there. Amen. I preached. I did what you told me to do, and I tried to do it in meekness and in love, and I tried to do it to please you, not to please man, and some of them fell by the wayside. Is he going to be mad at me or you? Amen. I mean, so husband, lead your home. Amen. You're going to stand before God. Wives, you need to do your part and fall into place, and we're going to go over some of that. Let me give you an example, an Old Testament example here. Go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. It's a very, very serious responsibility that a husband has. We don't realize the seriousness of the responsibility that God's given us as a husband to lead our wife to be a Christian example to her at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account for all those things for our home. Look at Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 17. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, all right, he's dealing with Adam. If you look at this thing, now later on when he's issuing out the curses for what they've done, he goes all the way down the line. All right? But when he's dealing with where are you and what did you do, he's dealing with Adam. Verse number 17, and unto Adam he said, and if you don't know where we're at or you're not familiar with this story, Adam and Eve in the garden, God created Adam and then he made Eve out of his side. And he told them, he said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Any tree you want, you can have, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day you do, you're going to die. They started dying spiritually. They started dying physically that day. And so he told them, do not eat of that tree. All right. That was his commandment from God to give to his family. And Eve ended up taking of the tree and eating and gave to her husband who was with her. That's what the Bible says. And verse number 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. God condemned Adam here because of the decision he made to hearken unto his wife and not obey the Lord. And because of that, Adam is now getting him a straw hat and a hoe and out there planting a garden. And he's got to work by the sweat of his brow because of what took place. His wife was made for him. Adam wasn't made for Eve. And it wasn't Steve for Steve. And it wasn't Eve for Eve. Eve was made for Adam. That was his responsibility that God gave him. And he did not obey God. And rather, he obeyed her. And I've heard a lot of preaching in a lot of different directions on it, but what it boils down to is he didn't obey God, and he hearkened unto the voice of his wife. And instead of saying, honey, we're not going to do that, God said, don't do it. Amen. Instead of saying that, he took it and went along with it. And I know there's a lot of typology there with the church and all that kind of stuff, but they messed up. And because Adam sinned, it brought sin upon all men. Amen. That's what we read about in the Bible. And so God had told Adam what not to do and expected him to obey. When his wife wanted to go against the command of God, he could have simply just said, no, God said, we're not doing that. Amen. How many husbands have in their home got to a point and said, no, honey, God said for us not to do that. God said for us not to dress that way. God said for us not to go this way. Amen. God told us not to do this. But that doesn't happen today. Amen. We got to give an account for it either way, though, whether you do it or not. You do whatever you want to do, but you're going to stand before God. Regardless of what Eve had done, God held Adam responsible because he was Eve's head. And we've read several verses on that. Brother Brian even read some of them tonight. When God cursed the ground, he didn't curse the ground for Eve's sake. He told Adam, I'm cursing the ground for your sake. He said, what did Adam do? He hearkened unto the voice of his wife. He was not the spiritual leader. He was not the spiritual example to his wife. He just wasn't. Look with me. Let me look at this verse real quick. I'm going to see if I want to go here. We're talking about the husband being the spiritual leader of the house. I'm not going to go there right now. We'll visit that later. So he cursed the ground for his sake. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Timothy 2, 14. And I know that at this point in a study like this, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But I tell you what, you know, I want to please God. And sometimes it's not easy. And sometimes it takes going to our wife and saying, honey, or whatever you call her, amen, precious, angel, baby girl, whatever it is, and say, I haven't done what I'm supposed to do, and I'm sorry, I need to fix this thing. And sometimes that won't be taken very well. You mean we're going to do what? You mean I got to change what? Amen. And, you know, turn it over to God. I mean, give it to him and let God work on him. But husband, you got to do what you know is right. Right? You got to do what you know is right. Because you're going to stand before God and give an account. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Look what the Bible says here. And Adam was what? Are y'all there? Adam was what? Not deceived. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. But who got held responsible for it? Adam did. Adam wasn't deceived. Satan, Brother Brian, didn't trick Adam. Adam knew it wasn't right. Adam already knew that he wasn't supposed to eat of it. He already knew God said to stay away from it. Adam wasn't deceived. The wife was deceived. The Bible calls her the weaker vessel. Not me. The Bible calls her the weaker vessel. Not less important, calls her the weaker vessel. And we're going to get into some stuff here in the next few weeks. A Bible given instructions as far as a lady's concerned, where she's in her home, that her father is her head up until the day that she gets married. So she's 40 years old. Her father's her head until the day she gets married. She's never without a head, a male head that God's given her. So don't have her father. Who is it? The pastor. Amen. And we're going to go over some of that stuff. And there's a reason for it. God has a design for it. And it all works together for his glory and his honor. And so because Adam was deceived, Adam was not deceived, because the very first home in the Bible got out of order. And because the husband wasn't the example and the spiritual leader he should have been to his family. And now we're dealing with everything you see. Look around you. All over. Instead of walking with God in the cool of the day, now he's too busy because he's got to work so he can eat. A lot of things changed. A lot of things changed. God held Adam responsible for his wife's actions. Husbands, just like God, is going to hold us responsible for our family. He's going to hold us responsible for every bit of it. She will give an answer of herself to God. It's going to happen. She's going to give her answer, but you're going to give an answer. You say, "Well, I didn't sign up for this," and you don't. It don't matter. You're going to give an answer for it. Amen. And some marriages don't work out, and you know why? God didn't put them together. They say, all marriages are not made in heaven. Some of them God had nothing to do with. And if they fall apart, it's not God's fault. And God can pick up the pieces, and he can take those individuals, and he can still make something for his glory and his honor. And I'm thankful for his long-suffering and his mercy. I'm thankful for it. Amen? You say, "Well, I haven't always done what I'm supposed to." Well, start today. Start tonight to have a home that God is pleased with. And husbands, starts with us. We don't have to sit here and preach for weeks on what Jesus Christ is supposed to do. Because he's our head. He does what he's supposed to do. Amen. We have to submit to him. And then we have to be just like Jesus Christ is to us as an image of God. We're supposed to reflect that to our families, to our wife, and be the example. And Lord willing, when we get back on this, and we're going to be on this for a little while, We're gonna look at some Old Testament examples of what God has laid in store for a woman in her place, and show that the man is responsible for what she does for God. If the Bible talks about their numbers, and we're gonna look at it, if she makes a vow to God and her husband says, "No, you can't do that," then she has to obey her husband. And he's going to be responsible for that decision he made. He's going to have to live with that decision, and he's going to be responsible for it, and he's going to give an account to God for it. And I've heard preachers say this before, but I can't find this in the Bible anywhere, that if your husband tells you you can't go to church, if your husband tells you you can't tithe, then you just need to disobey him and do it anyway. That is not scriptural. You are out of the will of God if you do that. You are. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. Now, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him. Because I'd much rather let her go to church and do what she wants to do if God will, not rain down judgment or wrath upon my head. Amen. Because God's going to make things right. He's no respecter of persons. He don't care if you're faithful to church or you don't go to church. He's talking about rich and poor. He's no respecter of persons in any way, shape, or form. I'm there every day. It don't matter. He's going to hold you accountable. And so, but I'm going to show you from the Bible some of those things and show how, and showing those is not to say, "Well, hey, we're over our wives and we get to tell them what." No. I'm doing this to say that it's extremely important that husbands, we be right with God because they're in submission to us, and because we're leading them, not because, well, bless God, No. We have a great responsibility. A great responsibility. And we need to make sure we're doing it right to please God. Amen. And plus, it'll make it a whole lot easier on her if we're doing what we're supposed to do. It will. All right, let's stand. Brother Heitz, would you close us in prayer, brother? Remember, soul winning Saturday.